Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Bucket list. We're supposed to make a list of all the things we wanted to do in our lives before we
kick the bucket. Cutesy.
I was gonna redo the list, but then...
Help a complete stranger for the good. Laugh until I cry. Not to be judgmental, but this is extremely weak.
Well, it's pointless now.
I would argue the exact opposite.
I'm Jim Burns. When we were growing up, we used to think of people in their 20s and 30s as old. At least I did when I was like 15. I had teachers that age, and I thought they were almost senior citizens. And if they were in their 40s and 50s, well, they were definitely senior citizens. But you know what? These days, those men and women would be considered to be entering midlife instead. For many people, the second 40 or so years of life can even be more rewarding and fulfilling than the first 40 have been. And on today's edition of Homeward, I want to talk to you about what the new midlife manual for men and women looks like. My good friend Steve Arterburn joins me in studio for a conversation about finding significance in the second half of life. So keep it right here, because Homeward starts right now. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and we like to tease Jim a lot because of the fact that we are part of Azusa Pacific University, where the Homeward Center for Youth and Family is. Jim is an alumni, his wife Kathy an alumnus, daughter Becca, his daughter Christy as well. Well, our guest today here on the Homeward broadcast also has an APU connection. Steve Arterburn is with us, and we're going to talk about his midlife manual for men and how we can find significance in the second half of life. By the way, and Steve's connection is his daughter Madeline has an APU connection as well. Now, if you are interested in learning more about Homeward and APU, go to homeward.com. If you're not there already, there's an APU icon. Just click the button, follow it on through. You can learn more. Okay, part one of today's program. Here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and I am smiling today. One of my closest friends, Steve Arterburn, is with us. We're talking about finding significance in the second half of life. He's written a great book called Midlife Manual for Men, although Steve and I were just talking about it. I've read it, he wrote it, and I think it's a pretty doggone good book for women as well. You know, you can hear Steve daily on the national radio broadcast New Life Live. He's the founder, he's the chairman of New Life Ministries. Steve is the author of several best-selling books, including the multi-million-selling Every Man's Battle series. He's married to his beautiful wife, Misty. He and Misty and their children live in both Laguna Beach, California, as well as Indiana. So we'll have to talk about that. Co-written a great book, like I said, with John Shore, called The Midlife Manual for Men. Finding significance in the second half of life is what we're talking about. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here. We need to clarify that I'm not separated from my wife, that we're living in Laguna and...
Yeah.
Indianapolis.
And interestingly enough, it's working for you right now.
Works great. We've been doing it for about 5 years now, and we are kind of living the life of a separated couple who gets together either during the week or on the weekend when school is going on, but then holidays, we're all together in the same place. It's very interesting, but there are so many advantages to it. And when we talk about the Road Warrior book one day, I'll tell you all about how it works.
Well, we're going to have to, I will have to talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, Kathy and I don't know if that would work, although she may like it, you know, if I was gone.
She might be requesting
Absolutely.
It once she hears about it. You don't know.
I'm not really sure.
Well,
you know,
Jim, let me just say before we start that I am so grateful to be on the program, and I'm so grateful to have you as a friend. You've been a great friend. And I'm so proud of what you're doing and the lives that you're reaching. And I just want to tell folks that if you are a supporter, you're supporting the real thing here. And if you're not, well, hey, come on. What's going on? I mean, this is not free. No,
Roger,
if you're not, I just want to encourage you. This is the guy to support.
Well, I appreciate that. And Roger, I think we just got hijacked on our radio program by Steve Arterburn.
Yep.
You know, if you were born between the years of 1946 and 1964, obviously that's not all of our listeners, but you are officially a baby boomer. And there are 30 million just guy baby boomers. And these people are going all through midlife. Mm-hmm. You've written this great book on midlife. And it seems to me that most people kind of dread becoming middle-aged. And I remember when I was like 16, I thought middle-aged was like 25 years old. But we kind of do dread it. You see it differently, Steve. You see it as a fresh start. How do you see that?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what we've tried to do in the Midlife Manual for Men, which we could have entitled Midlife Manual for Men and Menopause, because so many of the things work for women here. But what we're trying to do is say to men, well, first of all, get ready for it. You know, start getting ready for it in your late 30s. Go through it with a different attitude than maybe you've had in the past. And then if you've been through it, maybe you need to recover from it. But if you will do certain things and focus on things, this will be the greatest time of your life. Now, I can honestly say this, that these are the best years of my life. I turned 55 in a month. And, you know, I got to tell you, it is a time for a fresh start. And, you know, bells might be going off in the back of your head when I say fresh start. You might be saying, well, yeah, you know what? I need a fresh start. Well, that's what I think this whole midlife thing is all about. You know, I have attention deficit disorder. And
I'm sure none of our audience would know that already.
Well, you know, when I heard the phrase attention deficit disorder, I thought, well, that's me. I've never gotten enough attention. And then I looked into it and I found out I really did have it. And so everywhere I go, I have to use a GPS thing, you know, a never lost thing. That's what Hertz calls it. Of course, it's always lost with me. And with the ADD, I never know, you know, just exactly where to turn, even though it's telling me. And so the thing that goes through my head the most is recalculating the route. The GPS, no matter how far off track you get, it can tell you how to get back to where you need to be. And I think that in midlife, I think God has our attention in some different ways, and it really is a time to recalculate the route. And I would imagine a lot of men listening would say that a lot of things that they put time and effort and even money into, there hasn't been that great a return. Well, look, at midlife, you've got literally more than half of your adult life left, most likely. For most people, it's about two-thirds of your adult life left. So it really isn't like, oh, well, I'm going to wind down and and retire and look toward that. I don't want to be that person. And so if you recalculate with two-thirds of your life left, you will make an impact on this world. You will experience significance and meaning in your life like you never did.
And that makes a lot of sense. However, you are one of the most successful men I've ever known. You are one of the most incredible people I've ever known. As I've said at the beginning of the program, Steve Arterburn with us, a good friend of mine. And yet at the same time, you didn't enter midlife all that easy. I mean, you've had some problems in your own life that you actually write about in this book.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I thought my midlife crisis was at 40. And I went out and I had to get bifocals. And so to compensate, I bought a yellow convertible and learned to surf at age 40. And I thought that was the midlife crisis. Well, you know, it wasn't. My midlife crisis was kind of thrust upon me, and I found out that my ex-wife was unfaithful. And when I confronted her about it, she filed for divorce. And, you know, people, that immediately makes people think, well, hey, what was your part in that, you know? And I'm writing a book called My Part, because I want to tell people what my part was, because no matter what happens, we all have a part in there. But all of a sudden, my life went from everything's working out great, going as planned, to I was removed from Women of Faith. The people that I started it with sold it to Thomas Nelson. I was removed from that. I was a divorced man in midlife and thought life was really going to be over. But Jim, thanks to people like you, John Townsend, Henry Cloud, these other, Milan Jurkovic, I made it through that to where a tragedy didn't become a scandal. It was just a tragedy, and I'm so grateful for the relationships like you that helped me get
through
it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think there's a lot of people who are in midlife or they're moving in that way, and they are actually making some unwise decisions, and they say, I need to recalibrate.
Yeah.
So what helped you recalibrate to make your midlife experience now being wonderful when it wasn't that long ago when it was really tough?
Hope that came from people who actually stepped up and did for me what I hope everybody would have someone do. They didn't give up on me. They didn't judge me. They just worked me through. You know, they had this thing we called on Sunday. We all got together, couples and Steve. And it was kind of embarrassing to have a group name that, but you know, every Sunday night, couples and Steve. And so having the relationship and the support allowed me to take a second look at things so that I didn't end up, which happens so often, people for whatever reason get divorced and they get into another relationship and it is a repeat of the exact same thing before. And so I had a lot of healthy people around me and I was motivated. I wanted to serve God through this. And I wanted to come out on the other side with a story that honored God, even though there was no opportunity for reconciliation in that marriage.
And that's a point that each of us has to come to if you've faced that situation before, where you realize, okay, this is where the definitions are. This is what the new boundary is. And Steve Arterburn giving us some practical things to think about, especially as it pertains to dealing with this in midlife. Today on the Homeward Broadcast, we're talking about finding significance in the second half of life. Dr. Jim Burns' in-studio guest is his good friend, Steve Arterburn. And we'll have part two of this conversation on the other side of this break. By the way, if you missed any part of today's program or any of the programs that we broadcast on the radio here, here on Homeward, we are always streaming audio at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot. It's no secret that the electronic media is everywhere. This is me. The Carolinas, Virginia, to David Banner's home. The electronic media has a powerful influence on every young person.
Overseas sales of some weed ain't hard to believe.
You're here because of MTV.
Now that the veto hasn't been used, Erica is gone.
Are all forms of media evil? Well, not necessarily. I believe it's up to us as parents to establish the guidelines we expect our kids to follow when it comes to what kind of media usage is acceptable in our homes and what kinds are not. That's why I encourage you to draw up a media usage contract for your kids. Be sure your kids have a say in how this contract is drawn up as well. You can see a sample media usage contract on our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about finding significance in the second half of life, and you'll have to decide where that second half is. Steve Arterburn with us today. What a privilege to have him. You probably have heard the voice many times on the national radio broadcast New Life Live. It's actually one of my favorite Christian radio broadcasts. He's the founder and the chairman of New Life Ministries, author of several best-selling books, including the multi-million best-selling series called Every Man's Battle, and just a great guy, wonderful family, and actually truly a good friend. My father died not too long ago. First call was Steve on his cell phone from Canada, and I appreciate that. Guy gets choked up, Steve, in the midst of us messing around. You know, most men tend to suppress their emotions, and it seems like in midlife, even more so. And you say that most guys, when handling an intense personal issue, they'll clam up and isolate. You didn't do that through years, and you're suggesting to other people in midlife, don't clam up and isolate.
You know, I was always so bothered by my father, who was always crying or getting choked up at the drop of a hat. And then I became him about 8 years ago, and I totally understand the value of being able to do that. Men are not less emotional than women. We have all the spectrum of emotions within us. And the question is, what do we do with it? And I see so many men missing some of the colors of life and some of the different feelings that can add color to our lives. The contrast of experiencing the depths of despair and allowing yourself to feel it, not getting distracted by a game or sports or alcohol or some activity, and then also to be able to experience the other side, to experience the uptimes, the euphoria of life that doesn't come from a drug or whatever, but comes from true connection, intimacy, and investment in other people.
And that takes a lot of work, especially for men. I remember a story you had told me one time. We're having lunch, and you were talking about a small group you'd been in from our mutual church at the time. And you know, three of the guys were having affairs. They were in a small group of yours.
We called it the Liars Club.
Right. They weren't even being honest about that. So in some ways, we've got to get past those kinds of things and find people who will be authentic and real. And that's not always easy, with guys especially.
Okay. So why aren't men more open, and why aren't they more revealing of emotion? Because we're scared to death. We're afraid. And I was speaking in Colorado Springs to 264 army chaplains, all in fatigues. It was just such a great experience. They all had the camouflage on and stuff.
Could you see them? Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was hard. But anyway, I had a guy stand up and he says, well, I want to be open and I want to be honest, but I'm afraid of what might happen if I share that with somebody and they're not safe. And I said, okay, I hear that all the time. Now, let's just work through this. Well, what's the worst that can happen if somebody isn't safe? The worst thing that could happen is that people might know the real you, and the jerks that you don't ever want to associate with will reject you. And the people that are full of God's love will embrace you and say, right, now that we know who you are, let's move forward.
Yeah, no, that's scary for a lot of people.
Very
scary. Courage. But I find even in a small group that I was in, you know, we talked about politics and we talked about sports. And then one day a guy said, you know, I'm struggling in my marriage.
Yeah.
The second he said that, everybody else kind of jumped in and started talking about real stuff.
Right.
And so sometimes we have to have the courage to do that. And, you know, frankly, there are people that you'll meet with and you'll say something and it won't be as safe. So move on to the next person.
Well, let's just, you know, I don't want to move too quickly from this because we're talking about honesty,
right,
and authenticity. And
right,
I share openly. I'm telling you, people, they come at me sometimes about the things that I share. I would rather have that than to try to have this compartment over here,
right,
that so many men have, where you've got this little compartment of secrets, you never open it up, and you never, ever resolve it, you never experience the emotions
well,
with
well,
it.
Well, you're right, and yet you're not, well, we all know you're not normal, but you're also not the norm, because the norm is for men, I think especially men in midlife crisis, and you write about this in your book, they're restless. They oftentimes have acute irritability,
yeah,
sexual
true
crisis.
Yeah.
I think you defined, even including affairs, the mother of all midlife crisis would be an affair.
Yeah.
You know, they're endangering finances and whatnot. So when you think about a midlife crisis, it's just the opposite. This person is not being willing to be open because they're dealing with a lot of these secret issues.
Right.
What did they do with that? And what does a spouse do with that as well?
Well, you know, we talk about a spouse and how she can really help a man, and there is nothing more that you can do more helpful than to be this guy's advocate and to encourage and support him. Sadly, what happens is you get a man who maybe he's been very stubborn. I call it stubborn resistance. And he has kind of this mantra, this is the way I was when you married me, this is the way I'm going to be. And he gets married to a person who becomes arrogantly entitled. I wish you were more like Bob. You know, Bob makes a better salary. Bob, they take better trips. Bob's name, it's one syllable. It's spelled the same way. Bob, he's everything. And you know, you come up and you're short on every area of comparison. And a guy, I mean, you talk about a guy in midlife crisis. If his wife is still comparing him to everybody else that's out there and he's falling so far short of those other people, it is going to be a crisis. The best thing that a wife can do is humble herself and get rid of the entitlement stuff. You know, your relationship is with God. That is the person to meet your needs. Now, you come at a mutual relationship with your husband where you're not demanding of him more than he can deliver. And I know I'm being kind of tough on women right now, but I'm just as tough on the men who are stubborn. But you support him, and if you find anything that is encouraging that you can share with him, share it with him and give that to him. That's the best thing that she can do. For a guy, if you don't have one person in your life who knows all your secrets, who knows everything ugly about you, then you've got a problem, and you need to find that person. Ask your pastor to be that person, if nobody else, or somebody. But if you're holding stuff and no one knows your full story, you got to work through that through midlife, and you will find it'll just release so much energy within you that you're not trying to cover up or hide or press down and stay in control. You let it out there to at least one other person, have them pat you on the back and say, thanks for sharing, and I'm going to be there with you. It changes your life.
Boy, that's a great comment. Steve Arterburn, thank you so much. You got to come back. I want to keep talking about this.
Okay.
Great. I want to make a comment in terms of what Steve was talking about right at the end in terms of the accountability side. I think it's very wise for people in midlife, but very wise for all of us. And by the way, if you're a younger listener, and we have many younger listeners, now is the time to start to prepare for midlife. Accountability is a key. And I know in my own life, and I've talked about this a little bit, but I'm in an accountability group every Tuesday morning with four men. There's five of us. And we have been together for so long that we can talk about pretty much anything. But there's still times that we'll hold back. I've got a good friend named Dr. John Wallace. He's the president of Azusa Pacific. And we get together on a regular basis. And that's where we also talk about anything. We'll say, have you done anything inappropriate with a woman? Not thinking about just even holding your those kinds of things, but even in terms of our thought life, anything inappropriate with finances, anything inappropriate with our family issues. Are you being faithful to Kathy? Are you being faithful to hanging out with your kids? And, you know, at first that was awkward, but I find freedom in honesty, like what Steve was saying, and I appreciate so much Steve's input. He's going to be back next time, and we'll continue talking about the roles that we have as men. Very interesting, important. A son, husband, provider, and father, and we're going to deal with that next time.
And this is a very topical conversation for us to be having, of course, as we are getting closer and closer to Father's Day. And here on the Homeward Broadcast, we're going to turn the spotlight on dads here for the next four or five programs after this one as well, because it's important for us to be intentional. And a lot of times we are looking to our wives, we're looking to our children to define us as husbands and fathers, and who better than to help us but guys who are actually in the throes of this as well. And Jim, it's so great to have the guys like Steve Arterburn on today's program. We're going to hear from Rick Johnson, going to hear from Ed Tandy McGlasson. And the recurring theme of today's program is kind of setting the tone for this next week's worth of broadcast, because if there's a recurring theme in all of this, it is definitely your favorite word, hope.
Well, it was, and especially you and I were listening hard, because we are now in midlife. I oftentimes don't realize that I'm a midlife guy. You know, I was a youth worker for so long, and I think I'm young, and then all of a sudden I look at the age deal, and, you know, I realize I am in midlife. And, you know, yet today's conversation did bring hope. We have to understand some of the realities of family life today are different than it was before. As parents, there are parents in their late 40s, even their 50s, who are raising their kids in high school, middle school, even younger today.
Yeah.
And that wasn't always the case just a few generations ago. I did a little study here. In 1800, the average life expectancy for an American man was 35 years.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
By 1900, it had jumped to 46 years. So that means when my grandma was born in 1900, mm-hmm. the life expectancy was going to be 46 years, or at least it was in that particular year. Well, today it is well over 76, and that really has changed the way we do life. Now, if you do the math, that means that we are entering middle age somewhere around 38, 40 years old. Well, let me ask you a question. Did you feel like a middle-aged man or a middle-aged woman when you were 38 years old, if you have reached that stage? Well, I would imagine the answer is no. I didn't. And yet the truth is that we are entering middle age, and finding significance in the second half of life is possible. But I also believe it means saying yes to some things and saying no to some other things. So first, I want to say we must say yes to self-care. You've heard me say this lots of times as we talk about self-care, but kids can eat what they want whenever they want, and it doesn't seem to affect their health at all. But we can't do that, of course. Get plenty of rest, exercise, and make good choices about even the food we eat, the lifestyle we live, and that's going to make a difference, and a big difference, I think, in the middle years. Also, say yes to remaining a student of the culture. I think your children are growing up in a world that is bombarded by media influence, and the amount of available information doubles approximately 18 months. Is that just absolutely amazing? It is to me. So keep up with the trends and pay attention to what's going on. You can keep a healthier outlook on life and stay more closely connected with your kids, I think, if you read what they read, if you listen to what they listen to, and you watch what they watch. It's almost a full-time job these days. Now, if you want to find significance in the second half of life, there are also a few things that I think you're going to have to say no to. First, saying no to staying young forever. I mean, if you're in your 40s, my opinion, don't dress like you're 17. You're not. So get over it. And by the way, be the best 40-something that you can be. And I think that's the best way to do it. Also, say no to becoming your kids' best friends when they're children. I mean, they already have plenty of friends, and you're too old to be their pal anyway. Besides, what they really need from you is a positive role model of what an adult looks like and what an adult acts like. But when you act your age, you're going to start to find a more significant life for yourself. And I think your family's going to be better off too, Roger.
Amen to that, Jim. And as we conclude today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, just remember those principles that Dr. Jim Burns was sharing. Think back on what Steve Arterburn and Jim were talking about finding significance in the second half of life. If you need a reference point, just go back to homeward.com if you're not there already. We have audio archives for you. If you'd like a copy of the audio CD that features part one and part two of this broadcast, just drop us a line. Including include a gift of any amount when you write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. And thanks for remembering that we are a listener-supported broadcast outreach. We're in the middle of June right now, and coming up on the end of our fiscal year, we would love to hear from you. It's important that we hear from you, just to let us know that the program is ministering to you, it's blessing you, but also if you can let us know that you're praying for us and can include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry. Your financial contribution is so important right now. You can give a gift online at homeward.com or write to P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, zip code 92693.
Well, be sure to join me again next time when I'll continue my conversation with Steve Arterburn on finding significance in the second half of life. Till then, I'm Jim Burns, and I appreciate you tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.